Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we have a year-end message titled All Things New by Pastor Rick Bernheisel. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us in person and online. I appreciate it. I know sometimes it's a good time of the year to sleep in a little bit as well. So for those that were able to get up this morning and get here, and for those that were able to get up and get your pajamas on in time for 9 a.m., thanks for joining us. We're going to be in Exodus 14 today, so if you want to go ahead and turn there before we get started. For those that may not know, I am the new executive pastor of business here at the church. My wife of 25-plus years and I moved here in May, and we're very excited to be here. We're also the college and young adults pastors. We love that age group. We love the next generation. We love discipleship. They have all kinds of ideas. They're very fun. They're energetic, and they're full of excitement. So I just love the next generation. I think it's exciting. Even though it's almost been 8 months that we've been here, like I said, we've been here since May, we still sometimes feel new. I think it's because of this whole COVID, right? You know, it's like Pastor Ray, I think even in October, he said, you know, when we open in November, I promise you, we have a church. We have people. He said, so I promise you, we're not just on camera and online. So it's been kind of fun. It's been interesting. I trust everyone had a Merry Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the excitement. I love the new presents. I love getting things. You know, hopefully you do too, not to make it all about getting things, but who doesn't like to get new things, right? They're new, they're shiny, they have that new smell. I still remember some of the new stuff that we got. And sometimes it's fun to get stuff new because it actually just works, right? Sometimes the old stuff that you have isn't new and it doesn't work at all. So if you're excited about something new, it's okay. It's okay to be excited about stuff that's new stuff. I remember when we first got our first house. I remember when we got new furniture. I remember the first time we got a new dishwasher because the old one was leaking and it was draining out into our across our front porch. So that was kind of fun as well. I came out one day and I was like, "What is all this white stuff on the front porch? That's kind of weird." And it was dishwashing soap that had leaked through the kitchen and through the wall and out onto the front porch. So I still remember that. And I remember when we got our new hot tub, and that was pretty fabulous as well. So new things are just exciting, and it's okay to be excited about new things. The problem with new things sometimes is that we have to get rid of the old stuff. And sometimes that's fun. It's exciting to finally throw out that old broken down appliance. It's finally fun to get rid of that old worn out couch sometimes. It's fun to drop those old chubby clothes that you had because now you got to get some new ones that actually fit. Those are exciting times. It's good to unload that money pit of a car that you had, right? Whoever has ever done that before, right? I remember just, you know, having some of those old cars and just waiting till you could get a new one because you're like, I just want to get a newer one. Just something from, you know, maybe the last three decades would be good sometimes, right? So it's fun to get new things. But sometimes getting rid of the old is hard. Sometimes we don't want to throw it out. That favorite t-shirt that you love, but your wife really wants you to get rid of, but you're like, I just broke it in. And she's like, you broke that in college, and college was like a long time ago. So she wants to get rid of that, and you don't want to get rid of it. You're just now used to it. Or those clothes that used to fit, and you're hoping one day they will fit again, and you finally come to the conclusion, like, I'm never going to be that small, so I probably just ought to throw them out. Sometimes those are hard to get rid of. Sometimes it's just hard. However, the truth is that we often enjoy new things if we are the ones who get to control it. And the truth is, we enjoy new things as long as we're not clinging to the old. It's hard to enjoy new stuff if you're constantly clinging to the old and you're not ready to get rid of it. I'm very excited and honored to preach the last sermon of this, what will soon be the old year. I don't know about you, but I know some of you might have been coming in expecting a sermon on goals and priorities, and I thought about doing that, but I was just really praying about it, and I thought, you know what, instead, I want to use a story from Exodus and talk about all things new. So if you're taking notes, I think you probably already saw that. That is the title of my sermon today, All Things New. So who's ready for the new year? Is anybody ready for the new year? I'm ready. I mean, who's ready to put all 67 months of 2020 behind you, right? Is this like, it feels like it was yesterday and it feels like it just took forever, right? I mean, am I the only one that feels that way? Are we awake today? You here? Okay. All right. Well, some of you are awake. All right. So Exodus 14, let's get started. This has definitely been a year. It's been an exciting year. It's been a fun year. It's been an interesting year. It's been a divisive year. It's been a wet year. It's been a fire year. It's been an all kinds of year. It's like a year that you could just talk about everything because everything seems to happen. Exodus 14, we're going to start in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So just in case, for those of you that don't know what's going on here, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were mistreated. They even had their children killed. It was not a good time in Egypt. There was a point in time when it was good, but things kind of turned sour and things kind of got bad for the Israelites. They even had their young ones killed, like I said, and it's hard to look at things and go into the new things when you're looking at the past, right? That's what I was just talking about. So if you're taking notes, the first point is this: look forward. Look forward. You notice sometimes that the very things that we pray for becomes our praise and then becomes our prayer again. We pray about stuff like, "God, take us out of Egypt," and they get out of that and they're like, "Hey, praise, hallelujah," and then they get to the Red Sea and they're like, "Can we go back?" We pray to God, we say, "God, please, please give me a kid. I want children." And you're like, "Hallelujah, we have children." And then you're like, "Oh God, help me with these kids." Right? Were we the only ones that happened that? So you pray for things like, "God, we want a new house. Please give us a new house. Hallelujah, we have a new house." And the next thing you know, the hot water furnace goes out, right? Then the dishwasher breaks down and your things start to break. You need a new roof. And you're like, "Oh God, help us with this house that we got because the bills are overwhelming." We pray for things. We praise God for those things, and then we pray about the things that we praise God for. It happens. I think it happens to all of us. It's just a cycle that we go through. Verse 12, I think, is interesting. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. We were better off before. The perceived glory of the past causes us sometimes to miss what lies ahead. The perceived glory of the past sometimes, and I say the perceived glory because sometimes it was good and sometimes it was great, but other times it's just that perceived glory. And I got to tell you, these guys were slaves and they think they were better off. They're like, "Well, at least we had food. Yeah, we were whipped. Yeah, you know, we had to kill some kids, float them down the river, but it wasn't that bad." And I'm like, "What? It wasn't that bad? It was that bad." This is like driving your car while looking backwards. Yes, we should check the mirrors, but you know what? You cannot drive your car looking backwards. And if you stare in the rearview mirror long enough, you will wreck. It will happen. You can't drive looking backwards. In fact, if you look backwards too much, not only will you wreck, but it gets annoying. If you know, the backseat driver is one thing, but having somebody sitting in the passenger seat turned around, facing the other direction, telling you what already happened isn't very much fun. We don't need to keep reminding ourselves of things that happened. It's, you know, if you're driving and somebody goes, "You hit a bump," like, "I know." You're like, and you swerve, like, "Hey, you just swerved." "I know." "You go in a ditch." "We went in a ditch." "I know." You know, you don't need to be reminded of the things after they happen. We really need leaders in our life that look forward, that tell us where we're going, not where we've been. Where we've been is great. You should check your mirrors. But you know what? We got to look at where we're going. Where we're going is more exciting. It's new. It has something different for you. And if we're constantly looking back, we can't enjoy what's in front of us. In my career as a leader, I've often trained young leaders that way. It's like, we don't need leaders telling us where we've been. We don't need leaders reminding us of what used to be and what could have been and what should have been. We need leaders who look forward and say, "This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what lies ahead." Because that's what matters most. We know this in our Christian walk. We know this in our Christian journey. Can I just say this same principle applies to our life? It applies to our church. It applies to the things that we do. It applies to the things that we've been through, and it applies to where we're going. I know it's tough. I know we like to look back, and I know we like to talk about the past. I just want to say, we need to look forward. We can't change the past. What we can do is change our perception and our perspective, and we can change the future, because that's what we're headed into. I mentioned Christmas and new things. With new things comes new family, comes great kids, right? Grandkids, great grandkids for some of us, right? I don't have any great grandkids. We have grandnieces and nephews. We have tons of them. I can remember growing up, I had three sisters, and in Christmas, we had traditions. We had family traditions, and they were fun, and that we'd get together, and we'd go over to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve, and we'd do different things. But as we got older, what happens? Grandparents pass away. We have kids. I marry a wife, and I love my wife, and that brings another family that we have to juggle with our Christmas traditions. Our kids, our nieces and nephews, they started dating, they started getting married, and next thing you know, my sister started saying, well, they're not going to be here this Christmas because they're with the other side of the family, and we're not going to be here this Christmas because we're with our other side, and they're trying to juggle two families, we're trying to juggle two families, and next thing you know, the next generation is trying to juggle four families, and things happen and things change. We can never go back to the way it was. So we can either embrace what's going on, we can embrace the love of the new ones, we can embrace the next generation and say we love them and we understand what they're going through, or we can rail at them and get mad because we can't go back to what we used to have. But guess what? It's all changed. It's all different. And I know that's hard. And I've experienced that. But that's because that's out of my control. I only like new things if they're in my control. But oftentimes they're out of our control. The interesting thing is that this idea of control, this idea that we have these choices, the idea that we can't change the past is hard to perceive, it's hard to grasp, but it is a choice I have to make. It is a choice I have to decide, and it is a choice I have to think about. We can't control it, we can't change it, but we can change how we perceive it. The way we think matters. There is something in our brain that triggers neurons and causes a pathway to right thinking. And we have to control that. We have to decide that we're going to embrace that and we're going to change the way we think about new things and new ways and new patterns and new opportunities instead of clinging to the past of what we used to have that we can never have again. This is not a new thought. In fact, the central theme of Jesus' first sermon on the mountain in Matthew 4:17 is to change your mind. He says, repent. And if you know what the word repent means, it means to change your mind, heart, and direction. So Jesus Christ, from the very beginning of your walk with him, says, I want you to change the way you think. I want you to change what you do, and I want to change where you're going. And he promises that. Dr. Caroline Leaf, the author of Switch On Your Brain, said this, as we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments of every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Proverbs 4:23-25, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly toward in front of you, before you. Even science knows this. Scripture tells us this, and modern science reinforces this, that we need to shape our minds, control our thoughts, and we can change our behavior. We are told to change our thoughts, and we can change our actions. For example, if you're trying to quit a habit, it's often, you know, people will say things like, let's take smoking, for example. Somebody will come up to you and maybe offer a cigarette or something like that, and you say, no, thanks, I'm trying to quit. And science will tell you, instead of saying that, you should say, I don't do that anymore. I know it's a minor twist of like, I'm trying to quit, reflects on the past of where you've been, instead of saying, I don't do that anymore, says, this is where I'm going, and that's the direction I'm headed. It's a minor shift in thinking, but it's huge in philosophy, it's huge in theology, and I can tell you it's huge in your actions in life. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know where anybody has been, here or online. What I do know is that going back to Egypt is not the answer. What I do know is that driving your car looking in the rearview mirror will cause you to wreck. It's okay and sometimes wise to reflect. Look back, check your mirror, but keep your eyes forward. We can't go back. The old self is behind us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for me. I don't know about you, but my old self was not good. We need to look forward to what God has in front of us. Our walk with our Christian faith is instant. I know that when I was saved, it was instant, but it's also progressive, and I'm still on this journey. I'm still pressing towards the mark that Christ has for us. We can't go back. That is relevant for individuals, and it's relevant for the church today. Things have changed. This pandemic has escalated things. I think it's escalated things that were already happening. Retail stores were already struggling with online shopping. Bank branches were already thinking about closing because people go to ATMs, they do online banking. The pandemic hit and it only escalated all of that stuff forward. So what's happening now? Bank branches are closing. Why? Because nobody's going. Is it cause of the pandemic or is it just because of what's already was happening? I don't know. Time will tell. But what I do know is things are changing and things have changed and things will probably never go back to the way they were, probably because they were already changing to begin with. We just didn't always notice it. We can't keep looking back to what we had. We have to look forward to what God has for us. Exodus 14. Here's where it gets exciting. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So how do we embrace the new? We need to know that God fights for you. He fights for you. He has a plan for you. Whatever your battle is, he wants to fight for you. But you have to yield to that. We have to let him. We have to trust him. We have to know that he's going before us. He goes before us and he goes behind us. I love in Ephesians 6, I love the armor of God. Not just because I was in the military, not just because I'm a Marine, but I love the armor of God because everything is on the front. The breastplate. You have the shoes of peace. You have the shield. You know what? There's nothing on the backside. And I always think that's because God is behind us. Not only does he guard us and he's in front of us and he goes before us, but he's behind us. You don't have to worry about protecting your backside. You don't have to worry about the past because God will protect the past. You don't have to worry about what you've done because hallelujah, it's been forgiven. You've been set free and that is no longer you and you get to leave it behind you because it doesn't matter. He wants to fight for you. He has fought for you and he is fighting for you. He's fighting for us. John 3, 16 through 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world." I know that might be a challenge sometimes because of all the change, but I can tell you, we can embrace the change, we can look forward, or we can worry about the past. So here we are. We've got the Egyptians pursuing them. We got the Egyptians about ready to overtake them. And what does God say? The Israelites, they're standing there. They're whining about where they've been. They're looking in front of them and all they see is the Red Sea. And I love this next verse because this is what gets exciting. Exodus 14, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" Not to look at the past, not to turn around and fight, not to worry about where you've been. What does God tell me? He says, tell the Israelites to move on. It seems like it's a bad advice. It seems like, what are you talking about, move on? There's a sea in front of us. It seems impossible. I don't know what's in front of you. I don't know what you're going through, like I said, and it may seem impossible. I think what God is telling us right now is whatever lies in front of you, whatever it matters, that he is before us and he's going to go before us and he's telling us, move on. Move on. The New Revised Standard Version says, tell the Israelites to go forward. The Amplified Version says, tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea. The New Living Translation says, tell the people to get moving. To get moving. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." And this might be the hardest part for all of us. This is the hardest part for me, is to move on sometimes. Interestingly enough, if you know the story, God tells Moses to take a stick in his hand and to stretch it out, something that is common, something that doesn't matter, to stretch it out, and he parts the waters. And with a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right, the Israelites, it says, walk through on dry ground. Not through the muddy swamp that should have been left behind, but on dry ground. And they're carrying their belongings and they're carrying things that the Egyptians gave them to get them to leave. Because if we go back in the story a little bit and look at that, we know that Moses comes and says, "Let my people go." And God sends the 10 plagues. And finally, the Egyptians go, "Get out of here and take some stuff with you and please leave us." And that's where they're at, and they're marching away with all this stuff, and the Egyptians are behind them. But what is going on? And you'd think that they would be able to catch them because they're in chariots, but the Bible says that their wheels started to get stuck. And I don't know why their wheels were jammed and all that. Here's what I think. I think that as the Egyptians tried to go through, what was dry ground for the Israelites turned to mud for the Egyptians, and all of a sudden their chariots came to a screeching halt. And I don't know how God does that. I don't know how he makes the miraculous for you, but I know that he makes the miraculous happen. He takes something that shouldn't happen and he makes a way. So the Israelites walk through on dry ground and the Egyptians, their chariots get stuck in the mud. We know there's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and it's separating the Egyptians and the Israelites. But it also says that their chariots were stuck and they kept jamming their wheels. Why would their wheels keep jamming? I'm thinking it by all the mud from the Red Sea, but the Israelites went through on dry ground. On dry ground. It might seem like a lost cause. It might seem like the end of the road. It might seem like there's no way out, but I know my God will make a way. Amen? Amen. He will deliver you. He will deliver us. Let God make that way. Let God protect. Let God move your mountain. Let God part your waters. Let God close the door behind you. Let God show you a new way. We can't accept new things when we cling to the past. If you want peace, leave fear behind. If you want freedom, leave guilt behind. If you want something new, leave the old behind. It's not going to happen. You need to come through on dry ground. Know that God is before you. He's going to part the waters. He's going to take something simple like a stick, and he's going to part the waters for you. He's going to make a way. Come through on dry ground. If you're following Christ, you may think there is no way. You may feel like hope is lost and you're about to break. But God is fighting for you. There is a battle. And I can tell you this, if you feel like you're about to break, I don't think you're about to break. Even though you feel like you're about to break, I think you're about to break through. You're about to break through something that God has for you. You're about to break through. He's about to deliver you through and carry you through something that you've been struggling with. Isaiah 43. I'm going to read several verses from here because this is exciting. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." Verse 8, "Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf." Verse 10, "You are my witnesses, declare the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." And verse 11, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. "I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declare the Lord, that I am God. I am the Lord, your Holy One," verse 15, "Israel's creator, your king." Verse 16, "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." In Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Streams in the wasteland. I know it's scary. I know sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard to see new things and perceive these new things, but I think that right now what God has for us this morning is to embrace the new things, to look forward, to know that God fights for you. And I think he's saying, move on, move on. Identify the truth that sets you free. And I want to speak to some individuals this morning right now that maybe this is for you individually that you need to move on. And I don't know what it is. And I don't know where you've been. And I don't know what this year has been like for you. But embrace the new. It's time to move on. Identify the truth that sets you free. I am disciplined. Christ is greater in me than is in the world. I am innovated, blessed, driven, because he dwells in me. You are not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts. Declare what is true about you in Christ. The weapons you fight with are not of this world. You have divine power to demolish strongholds. You take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Worry is not your master. You trust in God. His peace guards your hearts, your minds, and your souls in Christ Jesus. You are not a slave to your habits. You are not a prisoner to addiction. Your past does not define you. God has plans and a purpose for you. You have been ripped from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. You don't interpret God through your circumstances. You interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. You are not anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God with prayer and petition. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My wife, Sherry, she says, make Jesus louder than your circumstance. And I love that about her. When something's going on, when something is trying to define us and it's not who we are, she says, make Jesus louder than your circumstance. And sometimes that means you just audibly need to speak the name of Jesus. You need to speak the name of Jesus into what you're doing, into what you're going through, and say, Jesus goes before me. He's going to define my new path. He's going to take me into righteousness. He's going to take me into peace, and I can leave the old self behind. When you know the truth will set you free. Look forward. Know that God fights for you. And move on. Let's move on. If you're here this morning, you're listening for a reason. Whether it's online or here in person. God brought you here for a reason, I believe that. Maybe there is something in your past that is holding you back. There is something you can't move past. Maybe it's guilt or shame, or maybe just difficulty embracing the new. You need God to help you provide a way and embrace what he has for you. If that's you, I want to pray with you. If you're online, you can hit the prayer button and the people online will pray with you. We're going to pray this morning. So I just want to ask you right now, if there's something you're struggling with, if there's something you can't move past, if there's something that maybe you're saying, I need to embrace the new and it's not easy and it's challenging and I don't know how to do that and I need God's help, will you be brave enough to just raise your hand right now and say, that's me? That's me. I need help. Pray with me this morning. Thank you. Anyone else? I also know that this morning, he is fighting for you. You may be here this morning or watching online and you're thinking this isn't for you. You may be thinking you don't know this God that fights for you. And you may be thinking that this God makes a way for you, but he doesn't make a way for me. I want to tell you that right now, he is fighting for you. You can feel that tug on your heart. You can feel that in your chest, and maybe you can just feel that he is calling to you. There is a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven that says your past does not define you. There's a God in heaven that says it doesn't matter what you did, maybe yesterday, maybe this morning, but you can leave that behind. You've looked back, maybe you've walked away, and you feel there's no way to make it right. You've never experienced this God. Maybe he wants to welcome you into his love, his mercy, and his grace. You can't do anything to earn this. He did it all for you. He is calling you. You may feel this is the end and you have nowhere to go. You may feel like there is no way, but he's making a way where there seems to be no way. And can I tell you this morning, he's parting the waters. He's parting the waters for you right now. If you're ready to leave the old self behind, he has a new life for you. He has a life that is forgiven, set free, and reborn. He has something new. So I just want to ask this second group of people, if that's you, you want to click the prayer button online, say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know him anew. I want to leave the old self behind, and I want to come into this new life with Christ. I want to know this Savior that people are talking about. I want to know this new life. And if you're here this morning, and if you're brave enough, I want to ask you to raise your hand as well. Is there anyone here this morning? Anybody online? Just go ahead and click the chat button and they'll pray with you. Will you stand with me this morning as we close? And we're going to pray for new paths. We're going to pray for new ways. We're going to pray that we can leave the old behind, not just our old self, but maybe some old things that we've embraced that we need to say that's not us anymore. We need to leave Egypt behind us. We need to leave those things behind us. Amen? Some believe it. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for new ways. God, we thank you that you're making a path. We thank you, God, that even though it may seem unclear, that you have a path for us, you have a purpose for us, you have a plan for us, that God, you are parting the waters, you're making a way where there seems to be no way. So God, we thank you for new things. We thank you for new things that are before us, God. And God, we just pray that you would just give us the courage to embrace the new, to embrace the change, to embrace the change in us, to embrace the change in our families, Lord, and maybe even in our church, God. Those things, Lord, that we have clinged to the past that maybe is of no more. So God, help us to carry on those things that we need to carry on: family, love, mercy, your grace. May we see each other the way you see us, through the eyes of Christ who died for us. And Father, for those that don't know you, God, I pray that they would give their lives to Christ this morning, that they would know you in a new way. They would feel your presence. They'd feel your power. They'd feel your overwhelming mercy and love and grace on their lives this morning. So God, we thank you. We thank you for new life. We thank you that our old self is gone, that you have forgiven us, that you have set us free. We thank you for that new life in Christ and that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us, God. May we go forth boldly and proclaim the love of Jesus to those around us. We thank you for the year we've had. We thank you, God, for the things that have happened in the past, God. We glorify you for those things. But God, we look forward to the new. We look forward to what you have. We look forward to new life. We look forward to new people in Christ. We look forward to new family members, to new traditions, to new creations, to new things that you have for us. And we thank you that you're making a way where there seems to be no way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, church, for coming. Thank you for joining us online. I just want to close this time to say, God loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you for the rest of 2020 and in 2021 as we start our new year off and we refocus in Christ. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to know more about Portland Christian Center, you can visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.